Turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 35 and read down through verse 42. And then I just want to mention three things about Andrew tonight. John chapter 1, verse 35. Here's what the Bible says. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation of stone. I want to share three things with you tonight as I thought about this apostle. And by the way, I want to tell you, there's a difference, and I'll tell you this real quickly. There's a difference between an apostle and a disciple. All the apostles were disciples, but all the disciples were not apostles. A disciple, of course, is a learner who seeks to imitate the teacher. He's a pupil, a student. An apostle is one that is sent forth, chosen and sent forth with a special commission as an authorized representative of the sender. And so all the apostles, first of all, were chosen by Jesus. In Luke chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." All of them, all the apostles, were given signs and gifts, which were their credentials from Christ. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, "And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And then all the apostles, it appears, had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. Because you remember in the upper room, after Judas betrayed Christ and killed himself, and they were picking, and I think the other disciples, the group of men that picked the one to replace Judas, got ahead of God, because I think God already had the apostle Paul picked out to be that 12th apostle. But when they picked out Matthias there in Acts chapter 1, Peter said this, "Beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Okay? And so those were the requirements of an apostle. But I want to talk to you about the apostle Andrew tonight. And I have 3 points, and I'll just tell you what they are so you know where I'm going. First of all, in the apostle Andrew, we see that God uses ordinary people. We see, number two, that sometimes playing second fiddle is exactly what he wants us to do. And then we see in the apostle Andrew a lot of good things that we should employ when we attempt to bring other people to Jesus as well. And I have 7 or 8 things I want to mention there. So I got to hurry tonight. Got 3 points, and the last one's an eight point. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So listen in a hurry tonight. All right. The apostle Andrew is only mentioned in 12 verses in the New Testament. He did not write a book of the Bible. We won't read any letters that he wrote that is included in the canon of the Bible, like we do for Peter, James, John, and Paul. There's no recorded sermon in the Bible that he preached. I'm sure he preached some, but there's none recorded in the Bible for us. There's no record of any miracle that he performed. Although when he was sent out two by two, I'm sure that he worked some miracles, but there's none that's recorded in the Bible. All we have are a few statements that he made, and all 3 times in the Bible, when we find a record of the apostle Andrew, he was bringing somebody to Jesus. I mean, there's three times in the Bible when he's mentioned that encompasses those 12 verses. And every one of those three times, he's involved in bringing somebody to Jesus. But from the fact that we read no sermons, we hear no miracles, he didn't write any books of the Bible, we can discern that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't an orator like Peter. He wasn't a leader like James was. He was what we might call an ordinary guy that God used in a mighty way to do what Andrew did. And he paints a picture of us of what every Christian should be. First of all, he was a saint. He wasn't a superhero kind of Christian, and he wasn't a dead Christian, as some people think saints are. In order to be a saint, you got to be dead, and you got to be dead for a long time, and you got to do some other stuff. That's not the definition of a biblical definition of a saint. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be ordained in all them that believe." If you believe in Jesus Christ tonight, you know what? You're a saint. You're a saint. You're a saint. In fact, I think it might be a good reminder if we start calling each other saint. Saint Gerald. Saint Jack. I'm teasing about that, but we need to be reminded that we are all saints because we are all believers of Jesus Christ. Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. I'm sure, it doesn't say, but I think he was probably there when John baptized Jesus. I think he was probably there when that dove came from heaven and lighted on Jesus, and that voice came from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I know for sure he was there because we just read it, that he was on the scene with Philip when John pointed out Jesus the next day and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so Andrew believed that Jesus was Christ. Andrew believed in Jesus as his Savior. That made him a saint. I read a story about a little boy and his mom. They were in a church that had the pictures of the saints on the stained glass windows. And the little boy asked his mom, said, "What are those guys up on those windows?" And mom said, "Oh, those are saints." And the little boy said, "Oh, now I know what a saint is. It's somebody that lets the light in." And that's exactly what we did to become a saint. We let the light of the world come into our life. So he was a saint, but he was also a servant. Again, he's only mentioned three different passages in the Bible. Every time he's bringing somebody to Jesus. In John chapter 1, he brings his brother, Peter. In John chapter 6, he brings a little boy that had the lunch that Jesus used to feed the crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And then in John chapter 12, he's bringing the Greeks that want to see Jesus. He's bringing the Greeks to him. I know of no better way to define what a Christian should be than to point you to Andrew. Andrew was somebody that believed that Jesus was the Christ, and that he himself was a sinner that needed a Savior, and that Jesus was that Savior. And then after he got saved, he did the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." And every time we read about Andrew, he was bringing somebody to the Savior. So, didn't write a book of the Bible. Didn't preach a great sermon that we have recorded in the Bible. No record of any miracles that he worked. But again, I can't think of a better person in the New Testament to point you to and say this. None of us will be a Peter. None of us will write a book of the Bible. None of us will preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 people got saved, and a few weeks later where 5,000 people got saved. But every single one of us can be an Andrew. You're halfway there if you've received Jesus as your Savior. The other half is just we need to be busy about the same thing that he was, bringing people to Christ, bringing them to the Savior. Second thing I want to say about him is that it seemed like he relished in playing a second fiddle role. He relished in working behind the scenes. He relished without, you know, with doing the work, without getting a lot of a notice about it. I mean, Peter, his brother, I mean, you might say in comparison that he was a first fiddle player. I mean, his name is found throughout the New Testament. He was the leader of the disciples when they were with Christ. He wrote two books in the Bible. He preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost. He performed miracles. And again, in compared to his brother, Andrew's only mentioned three times, and most of the time he's mentioned just like he was tonight, Simon's Peter's brother. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Every time he's mentioned as Simon Peter's brother. In the list of the apostles, Peter's always mentioned first. But I want to remind you tonight, if it wasn't for Andrew, there probably wouldn't be a Peter. If Andrew had not brought his brother to Christ, there would have been nobody to preach that sermon on the day of Pentecost. There would be nobody to write the books of 1 and 2 Peter in the Bible. There would be nobody to, you know, get out of the boat and walk on the water. There would be nobody, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane that took the sword and cut the soldier's ear off. I mean, without an Andrew, there would not be a Peter. And there have been people down through the ages. In many cases, we don't know their names. And yet, they worked a mighty work in the kingdom of God because of who they brought to the Savior. It was a Sunday school teacher. We know his name. His name was Mr. Kimball, who went to the south side of Chicago to a shoe store where a young man in his Sunday school class was working. Took him into the back room and said, "Dwight, you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior." And in the back room of that shoe store, D.L. Moody got saved. D.L. Moody, you know D.L. Moody, a great preacher. I mean, he was the first bus worker in America. He would get horses and wagons and bribe the little street children with candy to come to Sunday school so he could tell them about Jesus. If it wasn't for Mr. Kimball, there would not be a D.L. Moody. There's a preacher in London on a snowy Sunday morning that didn't show up for his services. And so a layman, whose name we do not know, stood in the pulpit that morning. That morning, there was another young man that was actually on his way to another church. But because of a snowstorm, which caused the preacher not to show up, he stepped into this church. Not many people there. The preacher wasn't there. And that layman stood up and preached a sermon, a salvation sermon, and Charles Spurgeon got saved that morning. Charles Spurgeon, a mighty preacher, a giant church in the city of London, saw thousands come to know Christ, wrote thousands of books on the scripture. And again, that layman whose name we do not know, if it wasn't for him, there probably wouldn't be a Spurgeon. Or think about that mission preacher in Chicago, who that night preached when Billy Sunday heard the gospel for the first time and came in and got saved. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people hit the Sawdust Trail under the preaching of Billy Sunday. And if it wasn't for that mission preacher, there might not be a Billy Sunday. Look, if there are scores of people in this church that work behind the scenes. There are scores of people who do things every week in this church that most people have no idea of what they do. They don't get much credit for it. I mean, we're going to try in a small way on Saturday night to recognize some of those folks and just let you know what people do and thank them in a small way. But you know what? Every little boy and girl that gets saved in Awana, the people that are unseen, that nobody notices what they do, they have just as much a part in bringing that little boy or girl to Jesus Christ as the person that took the gospel and sat down with them. Every single person that gets saved in here, in the auditorium, Every single person that gets saved. It's not the preacher. It's not one person. Every single person that does something for God shares in the glory that we can give to Jesus Christ for that one coming to know him. And so, I read another story about a king who went into his garden one day, and all the trees and the plants were complaining. The pine tree was complaining because his leaves weren't as green or as big as the oak tree. The oak tree was complaining because his leaves fell off in the fall and he didn't stay green all winter like the pine tree. So all the trees and all the flowers were complaining about something until the king came to one little daisy who had a bright smile on its face. The king says, "Why are you so happy when all the other things in my garden are complaining today?" And the little daisy said to the king, she said, "Well, because you put me where you wanted me to be, and I've just decided I'm going to be the best little daisy I can be for my king." Wherever God puts us, we ought to just decide we're going to be the best that we can for our king. And then quickly, let me just share some things real quickly that Andrew can teach us about bringing people to Christ. Number one, he was sure of his salvation. When he had approached his brother Peter, we read it in verse 41, he says, "We have found the Messiah." He didn't say, "Hey, Peter, I think we found the Messiah. This guy, I think, is the Messiah." He says, "We found him." He was sure who Jesus was. He went first, second of all, he went first to his loved ones. He went to his own brother. Who are the ones that we should be the most concerned about? The ones that are closest to us. But isn't it sad that oftentimes the hardest people that we have to witness to is our family? I was talking to some of John's brothers last night about this fact, and I told one of them, I said, "You know, I think it's because they know us. They know all our failings. They know all our shortcomings. They know all our warts, so to speak." And sometimes it's the hardest thing to witness to people in our own family. But they ought to be the first ones that we go to. That's who Andrew went to. He went to his own brother. And then I want you to know something else. Number three, he brought people not to a church, not to a denomination. He brought people to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we ought to invite people to church. I think we ought to invite them to believe the things that we do as Baptists. But more important, and way more important, is to bring them to the Savior. Bring them to Jesus Christ. Couple more things, quickly. He was tactful. When he came to Peter, he didn't say, "Hey, Peter, I finally found somebody that's going to straighten you out." He didn't say that to his brother. He didn't say, "Hey, Peter, I know something that you don't." He didn't say that to him. He said, "Peter, we found the Messiah. I'd like you to come with me and meet him." Next, he was friendly. Say, "Preacher, how do you think he was friendly?" Let me just ask you something. Why would a little boy offer up his lunch to somebody that wasn't friendly to him? I think Peter took the time to meet that little boy that brought his lunch. I think he took the time to speak kindly to him. I think he took the time to get to know him. And when, you know, the need came up, that Jesus, when Jesus asked the question, "Well, what do we have?" Andrew was able to say, "Well, I met a little boy. He's got a little lunch. Let me ask him if he'd share it." And when Andrew went back to that little boy said, "I'd be happy to share it with you, Andrew. I'll be happy to share it with you." And then the last thing, he used his own testimony. He didn't have a Romans road. He didn't have the Gospels. When he went to people, he shared what happened to him. He said, "Peter, I've found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Come and meet him." He said to that little boy, "Would you share your lunch? I want to take it to Jesus. I think Jesus is going to do something big with it." When he brought the Greeks to Christ. They were trying to get to Jesus. They couldn't get to him. And they came to Philip, and then Philip came to Andrew. Philip knew that Andrew could get him through to see Jesus, and he did. It's a wonderful thing, the helps that we have to introduce people to Jesus Christ. But the most effective way that we have to do it is tell them what happened to us. I was a sinner. I was headed toward hell. I had no hope. But one day I met the Savior, and everything changed. Everything changed. I have a new life in Him. I have heaven to look forward to. Every single one of us can do that. Say, preacher, I can't do it. I'm too shy. Yeah, you can. You know how you got saved. There's somebody that you can share that with, and we ought to do it. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.